his arms around me. He placed me on the solid rock to stay. I love the name of Jesus more each day.
I love the precious name of Jesus. How he comforts, how he guides, he never leaves. And no matter how strong may grow the battle, he has promised to give to me the victory.
We love the precious name of Jesus. It was he who died to set us free. And someday soon we know he's coming, so that we can live with him eternally. For I was lost in sin when Jesus found me, and he reached way down and put his arms around me. He placed me on a solid rock to stay. I love the name of Jesus more each day. He placed me on the solid rock to stay. I love the name of Jesus more each day.
Okay, good morning. I praise and thank the Lord for the privilege that was given me by God and by Pastor Hope to be able to speak to you this morning, especially in this special day, Father's Day. Okay? And first of all, I would like to introduce to you my wife, Alice. Please stand. Okay. She's my wife, my nurse, and my partner in the work of God. We always travel together. When I was young, I used to travel alone in the Philippines and here in the States. But now I have to travel with her because of my medication. I used to forget my medicine. I will only remember my medicine if I'm already weak. So she always travels with me to remind me of my medicine. Okay. Now let us all stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 to 7. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 to 7. Okay. If you found it, say amen. Okay, I will read it and just follow me silently in your own Bibles. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. May the Lord add blessings upon the reading of his word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I'm praying, Lord, that may the Holy Spirit will work in our midst this morning. I'm praying, Lord, that may thou wilt be the one to use your servant to teach your word to your people, O God. I'm praying, Father, that may your words will not return to you void. Speak to our hearts and help us, O God, to be receptive to your words and put your words into practice. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, please be seated. Now, this is Father's Day. Amen? Now, I will request all fathers to please stand up. All fathers. All fathers. Amen. Now here's the fathers, the leaders of our homes. Amen. So I will encourage the wives to support the leadership of your husband. You know, if the wives support the leadership of the husband is the real leader of the home. And then I will encourage the children to support the leadership of your dad. You listen to them, you follow them, and God will bless you. Okay, thank you very much, brother. I believe every father is a leader of the home. Amen? That's what the Bible says. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. There is only one leader in the home, and that is the father, the husband. Now today, leadership of the husband is getting weaker in the home. Many wives wanted to be leader, and they tried to grab the leadership. And when we are doing that, we are destroying our own home. Amen? So I will encourage the husband to be a leader. Be a real leader for the glory of God. Amen? Be a man. Don't be a gay. Right? Don't be a gay. Be a man. Be a leader of your home. You know, men are losing their wives. There's a lot of divorce now. Men are losing their wives because their wives cannot follow their leadership anymore. And that's sad. I believe men should always be on the lead. And the wife must always follow and support the leadership of that husband. If man is leading his family for the glory of God, that family will become strong. Amen? And then children will follow the leadership of the parents. If there is somebody that loves you, it is your father and your mother. Amen? You know, there's a lot of children's rights movement today coming from America, and it's going to the Philippines. It's sad that not only good is going to the Philippines, even the bad things in America is reaching the Philippines. And one bad thing is that this children's right movement trying to separate the children from obeying the leadership of their parents. If you will search the scripture, the children are always instructed to follow, to obey, to respect the leadership of their parents. Amen? So I hope, young people, you are being taught to disobey your parents. They said if you are already 18 years old, you will be at your home. No. If my parents are still alive, I will still listen to my parents. Amen. I might be educated higher than my parents, but when it comes to experience, my parents have more experience than me. Amen. Sometimes children are too proud of themselves when they are educated. They think they have already the world in their hands. No, you need the guidance and direction of your parents. Remember about the king, that the son of Solomon, he refused to listen to the advice of old people, and he lost his kingdom. Right? Many young people, their lives are destroyed because they listen to young people without experience, not listening to their own parents. Okay, so this morning I would like to challenge the parents, especially the father, to be a leader in your home. Be a leader in your home. God made us a leader. And develop that leadership for the glory of God. Amen? Now, I have four things to challenge you this morning, and I hope you will consider it. You know, in the Philippines, I used to teach my people to bring their notebook if they go to church.
on Sunday. Okay. Okay. And their bullpen. Because I have a Sunday school, a Sunday Bible school in my church. I want to teach my people to be in the service of God, to prepare them to be missionaries. So our Sunday school lesson is credited in our Bible school. You know, I grew up in Sunday school, but no graduation. The only school that doesn't have graduation is Sunday school. So I said, we have got to finish something and give them credit. So they take notes and they get examination. Okay? And then in my preaching, I said, that is hermeneutics. I said, you bring your notebook and then you take notes. You get the thing, you get the outline, you get the text, and then you study it and you return home. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, our prayer meeting is Thursday, 3 messages every week, times 4, 12 in a month, times 12, 144 in a year. After 4 years of listening to your pastor, you can be a preacher. Amen? Amen? If the message given to you by your pastor bless you, it will bless others if you preach that message. Some preacher is too proud to say that his message is new. I don't think so. My message is old. I have read it or I have heard it from somebody else. Amen? There is nothing new under the sun. If the message of your pastor bless you, or the message of the missionary bless you, you preach it. Amen? Now, so I told them to take note, okay? Now, pastor has a note. I don't know if you have a note. And 11 of my deacons are already pastors. So I have to train new deacons again. Because they begin enjoy preaching the word of God, that they became full-time pastors. Amen? That is conservation of members. That's why I was able to plant more than 120 churches in the Philippines. Whenever my member transferred to another province, we started church in his home. And then eventually, that will become a big church. Wherever they transfer. I have members here in Long Island, New York, so we have a church in Long Island, New York. We have members transferred to Japan, so we have 3 churches in Japan. Amen? Wherever you go, preach the word. I believe that is New Testament mission. You know why there was persecution in the New Testament? So that the Christians will be scattered all over the world. And wherever they go, they preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay. Number one, a Christian father who is a leader of his home, number one, he must love the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Amen? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. You want to be a leader, you want to be a good leader, a good Christian leader in your home, love the Lord with all your heart. Give yourself completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are a father, if you are a Christian, love him. Give the best of your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Don't play church. Let us mean business in the service of God. That your wife and your children can see that you mean business in serving the Lord. Amen? Don't be an easy going Christian. Give yourself completely. Because your children knows what you are doing. Amen? And you can see with your, say with your children, follow me as I follow the Lord. Love him with all your heart. Listen to the preaching of God's word. Read the word of God regularly. And whatever God says, put it in your heart, and put it into practice. Don't disobey the word of God. If you want your children to follow you and obey you, you must be first obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Secondly, he must love his children. He must love his children. If you love your children, you teach them. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. Teach them diligently. Amen? Morning, noon, evening. Whether you are sitting down or lying down or rising or walking on the way, teach your children the ways of God. Amen? You know, the sad thing now is that fathers doesn't have time with their children. God will forgive us. We work so much. We want more money. But we don't remember that the best treasure that we have is the life of our own children. Amen? I believe we have got to work because we have got to provide the needs of our children. But we will never neglect the fellowship, the time that we can have together with our children, to let them know that we love them and we care for them. But we are losing that today because father and mother are busy working. No time for the children. And the time for the children is the television. Bad influence. And the time of the children is the fellowship with unbelieving children. And that's a bad influence. That's why we are losing the best treasure that we have in our home. Amen? That's eternal treasure. Our house, our car, everything that we possess, someday we will leave them. But the only treasure that we can have eternity is the lives of our children. Amen? Love them. Teach them diligently. Education takes a long process. Teach them. Teach them. That's why the Bible says, when you sit down, when you lay down, when you walk, always teach them about the Lord. That means you have to give time to your children. I believe boys should be very close to their dad. I believe girls should be very close to their mom. The old sayings, like father, like son, like mother, like daughter. What we want our children to be someday, we have to live it today and teach them. Amen? Young people, love your parents. Support your parents. Whatever problems you have, consult your parents. Don't consult other people. They will mislead you. Your number one leader to lead you and to teach you are your parents. And then train them. That's what the Bible says. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It is sad that man can train animals to obey them. I have seen circus. Lions, big lions, can be trained and will follow the leadership of man. A lion can stand and a lion can dance. That's terrible. I am scared. Just the sound of the lion. I'm scared. But they follow. They crawl. They jump. Train. They can train elephants. But they cannot train small children. That's an insult to us. If we can train dangerous animals, children are not dangerous. They are so tender. You know why we have not trained them? Because we neglected them. Amen? Don't wait for your children to become old. Train them while they are young. You have seen four of my grandchildren. They are already trained to preach. They can preach. Because While children, we used to give them competition. At first, they will not stand to sing. John's eldest son will not stand to sing. I said, okay, I go to the next one. I said, okay, you sing in the church. He said, okay, Grandpa, I'll sing. And he sang in the church in front of his elder brother. I give him 100 pesos. And the elder brother said, why did Grandpa did not give me money? The mother said, you did not sing. Pupit sang. So he was given money. He said, tell Grandpa, I'll sing next Sunday. And all of those four boys, every Sunday they keep on singing. I said, I don't have money. I will reduce the price, 20 pesos. But they already enjoyed singing. Amen? Train them. Children are tender. Children are teachable. We have problem with the youth today. Why? Because we have problems with the parents.
Right.
You see? If the parents will do their business for their children, we can have children who will even be greater than the parents. Amen? Train them. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Provide them their need. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. Provide them their needs, but not their wants. Amen? God will supply our needs, but never our wants. The same thing with our children. We will provide them what they need, but not their wants. Because if you will give them what they want, that will destroy them. And then control them. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4. Control your children. When you say no, it's no. When you say it's yes, it's yes. Don't make your no yes and yes no. Amen? That's why children are confused. Why? Because they don't know whether that yes is no or no is yes. Once it is yes, it is yes. It is no, it is no. Amen? But today they said, okay, just allow the children to do what they want. That's foolishness. They said, if you love your children, you provide them what they want. That's foolishness. One mother told me, she said, I bought my son a cell phone. And it destroys him. He is too young. He doesn't have an income. Why have a cell phone? Amen? I believe cell phones are only for those who have an income. And they can buy their own. What? Cell card? Now, if you know how to operate a cell phone, I remember, I don't know how, I was given a cell phone, I don't know how to operate. Last night, I have only a few hours to sleep because they keep on texting me from the Philippines, and I don't know how to answer. I told my wife, I said, this cell phone give me a problem. I have a headache. Okay, so control them. Control. That is one of the principles of teaching, right? You have got to control a child. In the Philippines, we use carabao, water buffalo, for plowing the field. And we put a string here in the nose, you see, to control. If you cannot control the carabao, you cannot plow the carabao. You see? You have got to control something if you want to use that something, right? If your steering wheel cannot be controlled, you'll be in trouble. Amen? So if you cannot control your children, you are in trouble. We are losing that. Before, what the father says, that's final. Now the children has more say than the father. That's foolishness. Amen? Fathers must be leaders and train your children to be followers. When they get married, then they will be leaders again. Right? That's why young people don't be in a hurry to be a leader. You will be in trouble. Wait for your time to be a leader. Learn from your father the leadership of the home. Amen?
Number six. Now, number five. Correct them. Correct them. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. Proverbs 19, verse 18. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Proverbs 23, verse 13. Okay? Correct them. Correct thy son while there is hope. And let not thy soul spare from his crying. You see? Because children will cry. They will cry. And then you are ready to discipline, they will cry. And you pity them. And then no discipline. Next time they will do that again and they will cry. That is their defense. But the Bible says, even if they cry, they need something. They need a discipline. But they said, that is, what's that? Child abuse. If you don't discipline your child, that is child abuse. If you discipline your child, you love your child. That's what the Bible says. Amen? So young people, if you are not being disciplined in the home, your parents doesn't love you. But if they discipline you, they love you. And you should appreciate your parents. Amen? You should be thankful that you have a parent that teach you, that controls you, and discipline you. So that you will come out a disciplined person. You know, I appreciated American soldiers. You know, when you have that parade, march, you know, American soldiers will train. My, if we can train a good soldier for the country, why not train a good children for the family? Amen? You know, children will enjoy if they know how to work, if they are disciplined at home, and they will enjoy the rest of their life. So love your children. Number three, he must love his church. Amen? Number one, you must love the Lord. Number two, you must love your children. Number three, you must love your church. If you are a member of this church, love this church. Amen? Don't keep on transferring. You see? Unless there is a doctrinal error in the church. But as long as the church is doing right for the glory of God, the pastor is not perfect. No pastor is perfect. You know, there's one Christian, so-called Christian in the Philippines, he said, I don't attend this church. He said, I cannot agree with the pastor. I don't like the pastor. And so he said, I'm looking for the church that the pastor is somewhat perfect. And he was talking to another pastor. And the pastor said, brother, in case you can find that church where they have a perfect pastor, don't join the church. He said, why? Because you will be the one to spoil them. You know, people think they are perfect. My, we are saved by grace, not by good works. There is nothing good in me without Christ. Amen? And there's nothing good in you without the Lord Jesus Christ. If perfection is the qualification in the ministry, I will go down and never become a pastor. Because I know I'm not qualified. But because by the grace of God, God saved me. I preach the word, not because I'm perfect, but because God has forgiven my sin. Amen? You cannot find a perfect. You can find a doctrine closer to what the Bible says, but not the perfect church. But brethren, love your church. Amen? Be loyal to your church. Be faithful to your church. Be supportive to your church. Always attend its attendance. Number one, attendance. Psalm 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen? We are happy. We are excited. This is Sunday. We must go to church. Amen?
We will wake up early. We will take a bath. We will prepare everything because we are on our way to church. Amen? And all children, members of the family are all excited. This is Sunday and we are going to church. That must be the happiest day in our life when we go to church to worship the Lord. Amen? If you are not happy in the church, something wrong in your heart. Number two is fellowship and teaching in the church. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, as you see the day approaching. Teaching one another. Bring your Bibles, bring your notebooks, bring your bulletin. Listen to the teaching of God's word. That when you go home, you have something to review and you'll say, my, the message is good from the word of God. Amen? We must be students of the word. Number three, support your church by giving your tithes and offerings. Amen? Don't steal God's money. You give God what belongs to God. Then number four main points. He must love his pastor. Amen? Number one, man, love the Lord with all your heart. Number two, love your children the best that you can. Let them know you love them and you care for them. Here in the States, what I have observed, even Filipinos are doing that. When they reach already age 18 or 20, they have their own job, they leave their family and get the, apartment, stay in the apartment and they can do what they want there. They don't like to be controlled by parents. But if we love our children will not leave home. Why? Because they miss dad and mom. Love begets love. Hug your children, kiss your children, and let them know you love them and you care for them. Amen? Even if they're married already, they still go back to the home because they missed home. Amen? If your children doesn't miss home, brethren, something wrong in your relationship. And then number three is he must love his church. Love your church. This is my church. I'll do my best to be in the church in all its services. Soul winning, I must be in the church. Evangelistic crusade, I must be in the church. Because we love the church. We let our children know Sunday is the best day. Prayer meeting is the best day. Because that's the Lord's day. Amen? Number four, he must love his pastor. Brethren, there's a lot of fighting in the churches. And that weakens our church. Pastors and deacons fighting together. Members trying to host the pastor, criticize this pastor, the pastor's wife, the pastor's kids. You know, our children, the pastor's children, are just the same with your children. They're just the same. And if they are saved, they are saved by grace only. You know why children of the pastors are rebellious? Because of what they have heard from the members trying to destroy their dad and trying to destroy the family. Brethren, love your pastor. If you don't love your pastor, you will destroy your church and you will destroy yourself. Because you can never find a perfect pastor. A pastor is always saved by the grace of God. But love him with all your heart. Pray for him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Pray for him. Pray for him. Pray for his wife. Pray for his children. That God will bless their ministry. And God will use him to be an encouragement to you. Number two, assist him. Exodus chapter 17, verses 11 to 12. Assist him. In all the work in the church, volunteer yourself. Pastor, I will help. Is there available job for me to do in the church? I am willing, Pastor. There's a lot of work to be done in the church. the pastor meets you. Approach your pastor. Amen? Don't just be contented in sitting down here, there. Get involved. Amen? And you will enjoy serving the Lord. Support him. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 to 18. I'll just give you the verse, and you will read it yourself. Support him. The pastor must be supported. He must be given double honor. Amen? Okay, give your best to him. Yeah? Your love gift. Support him financially. Number four, respect him. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 24. Salute him. That means respect. Respect your pastor. Don't criticize your pastor. Don't destroy your pastor, because your children are listening to what you're saying. Right? You know, sometimes people in the church include the pastor in their meal when they ate dinner. Don't do that. You are destroying your own family, because your children are listening to you. If they cannot respect the pastor, they cannot respect you. Number five, obey him. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey him. God put him to be a leader in the church. You obey him. You follow his leadership. Don't allow yourself that you will be a problem of the pastor in the church. Because if you are a problem of the pastor in the church, you are in trouble with God. Amen? Be a blessing to your pastor, that your presence is an encouragement to him in the service of God. Last, number six, remember him. Hebrews 13, 7. Always remember your pastor. When you have the blessing, remember your pastor. When you have a problem, remember your pastor. When you are sick, remember your pastor. And everything that you have, always consult your pastor for counsel, for guidance, for you and your family. God bless you. Shall we bow our heads for prayer, please? I have questions for you to answer. Are you sure you're saved? Are you sure you're going to heaven? If you are sure you're saved, raise your right hand. If you're saved, amen. 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 God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Put your hands down. If you are not sure of your salvation, God loves you. And God wants you to be in heaven. Okay? Is there anyone here who will say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I want to be sure of my salvation today? Please raise your right hand. Is there someone? God loves you. If there's a visitor here, if you're a visitor and you don't know you're saved, be saved this morning. God loves you. God wants you to be in heaven. Is there somebody? Okay, shall we all stand, please? And as we sing a song, if God has spoken in your heart of the message about the father, about the mother, about the children, if God has spoken in your heart, you can come forward and commit yourself to God, and Pastor will pray for you. God bless you.
We'll not sing just yet. Several men have come. Some are dads, some are not, but hope to be someday, I'm sure. It'd be a great time, thinking about this one young man who's down here now, it'd be a great time to set your heart about what kind of dad you want to be. We'd probably be amazed to think about the number of young men, young women that enter into marriage. Really, I don't have an idea at all about what it is they plan on doing, except for having some kids, living together. No real clearly defined goals or aims. Those of us who have been pastors or pastors' parents for a while, every now and then we need to be reminded of our duties. It's easy to let them slip. It was great to start out right. have a whole lot less damage to recover from if you start right. I hate to spend the first 10, 15 years of my children's lives trying to figure out what I was doing, where I was going, how I was going to lead them, what I wanted for them, and then when they're approaching their teens or into their teens, then get the idea it might be a good idea to set an example so that they'll want to serve God. It's a little late. It's not hopeless, but it's more difficult for sure. It'd be great if every child that's going to be born to anybody in this building would be in church from the day they're conceived. Outside of being sick, I understand, you know, that happens, but as long as possible. My kids don't know anything. As a matter of fact, I've been saved long enough, I don't know anything else except for going to church on Sunday. Really, I mean, I just going to church on Sunday and serving the Lord the rest of the time, that's all I know. That's all my kids know. That's all I want them to even think about. I don't want them to know there is any other kind of a life. I don't want them to know that there's a half-hearted Christian life. They can know people live it, but I don't want them to know anything about it. I don't want them to ever find out what it's like to be Sunday morning only or once in a while on a Sunday people. I don't want them to know what that's like. I want to be so deeply ingrained in them that it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school, and special services and all of that. I want that so deeply ingrained they can't even think of life without it. Wouldn't even cross their mind to live any other way. And all the other stuff too. But you know, if the Lord's not really first in your schedule, He's probably not first too many other places either. And if He's not first, then what are you building on? I know just about everybody's come to this altar either professing to be saved or I think there may be one who's being dealt with about being saved. But I wonder if there's anybody here this morning, you don't know where you're going to spend eternity, so this is a strange question to ask. The preacher did tell you something about how to be saved this morning, and it wasn't the center of the message, wasn't the whole message, but Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay your debt of sin. If you'll trust Him as Savior, you can have eternal life, and you can leave here today as a child of God. The Bible says, He came to His own, His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. You're not a child of God by your natural birth. As a matter of fact, the Bible says just the opposite. Jesus called people children of the devil. Said one group, you are of your father, the devil, and lust of your father you'll do. That's the way we all start out, unfortunately, but by the new birth we can become children of God. I've been a father now for 20 some years, just over 20, and I still don't understand what it is to have God be my father, but it's getting clearer and clearer. The longer I'm a father, the more what it means to have God as my father. Didn't have a good relationship with my dad, still don't, probably never will, but I've got a wonderful heavenly father. So maybe you're here today, you know, and you're estranged from your dad. You can't even talk to him, can't even get down to anything serious with him. It's just all superficial, if even there at all. Well, you can have a father in heaven who knows your every need and wants to supply it, loves you, cares for you, will never leave you or forsake you, never fail you, never leave you in time of despair or need or emptiness, cares about all your hurts, all your problems. He's not going to spoil you. He's going to let you learn. He's going to let you grow. He's going to let you suffer if need be. He's going to teach you character, but he'll never, ever withhold his affection. Never, ever will he do anything to harm you or do anything selfish for his own sake. He's all love and goodness. If you don't know him, I invite you to come. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior so you can have God as your Father today. I praise the Lord for each one of you. I don't know if anybody's coming to do anything like join the church or anything like that. Let me know, all right? I'm not following that line right now. Just pretty much praying for dads, and dads are praying for themselves as dads and all that. But if anybody needs anything, if you want to be baptized or join church, let me know. I'll come to you and talk to you about that. All right. You can be seated. Your brother O'Keefe is a pro. He's been at this a long time, finished preaching.